The stage is ours, said Alex Cora, and look what's happened since the spotlights started shining. As soon as the Bruins lost, the Red Sox started winning. 5-0, matter of fact, since the Bruins lost to the Blues. Overall, it's a six-game win streak now to get to six games over 500, not zero, not one. Was this the most important win of the year to date on Monday night? I think you can say it's possible. The Sox had come in seven games under 500 against teams with winning records. Minnesota, certainly a team with a winning record. But seven great innings from Porcello, some backup from the bullpen. Let's put on a hot dish. We'll get out some Swedish meatballs and lutefisk, maybe some Grain Belt beer, too. We'll break it down from Minnesota now.
It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Well, the Red Sox for the first several weeks this year have been giving out the wrong impression. I was reminded of an Office episode that came on the other day. They're on all the time now. When Jim Halpert first met the Idris Elba character, Charles Minor, who asked, and it was a very good question, he asked Jim, why are you dressed in a tuxedo? And Jim said, I didn't think you'd notice. And he laughs kind of nervously. He says, it's actually kind of funny. There's another salesman out here, Dwight Schrute. And he sent out this memo, as he always does, and it was about, you know, professionalism in the workplace. And, of course, he singled me out, so I just had to mess with him. It was not a good first impression by Jim Halpert. And kind of the story arc of that season was he never could right himself. He never could dig himself out of that self-imposed grave. That's kind of where the Red Sox were heading until the last several days. You know, I think they might have it right now. Let's get to it, because they had scored 35 runs in their last four games. They had hit 14 home runs. But Monday, they had to take a little different tack, and it worked out very, very well against the Twins. And they've got the Lynn, Massachusetts native, Derek Falvey, who runs baseball ops. He's done a great job. Brought in C.J. Cron and Nelson Cruz and Marwin Gonzalez and Jonathan Scope. They've got Jorge Polanco having the best season of his career. Same for Eddie Rosario, a guy that Alex Cora knows very well. Picked him to play for Puerto Rico in the World Baseball Classic. Max Kepler's had a breakout season. They've got Buxton. I mean, they're a great team. And the Sox had come in 15-22 against teams with at least a 500 record. So, at Target Field, right across the street from Target Center, which is super confusing, as is the grid of their perfectly perpendicular streets in that town. I mean, you can be at the corner of 5th Street and 6th Avenue, or 5th Avenue and 6th Street. And that's two completely different corners. And if you can't keep it straight, you're trying to get an Uber or something, trying to tell somebody where to meet you. It's church. I mean, it's a really tough thing. I know it's kind of a first world problem, but I've had that problem. Anyway, Target Field, where the all-time leading hitter in terms of batting average is, of course, Sandy Leon. Seriously, minimum 20 at-bats, 14 for 23, three homers, nine runs batted in, a terror. He did not figure in this one. Neither did the Twins' bats. Minnesota had homered in 20 consecutive home games. Oh, come on, Rick Porcello, you got something? Yeah, he had something. We'll get to that in a second. But what I liked about this game, we've talked a little bit about the painfully slow starts to games for the Red Sox this year. So what a pleasant surprise to rock out right away. They got three hits in a row off Jose Barrios in the first. They grabbed a quick 1-0 lead. J.D. Martinez, the RBI single, plopped in a left. And the Sox this year, in the games that J.D. doesn't start, they're averaging four runs a game. In the games that he does start, it's 5.7. Just throwing that out there. Let's throw out a little Rick Porcello now. He got the cutter up and in the lefties all night. As Lou Maloney tweeted during the game, sliders in, elevated fastballs away, just too tempting for those lefties. They couldn't lay off it, and they couldn't catch up to it. Finally, though, there were some rockets that were getting hit around. They just weren't dropping in. It was two on, two out for Minnesota, bottom seven. Porcello's pitch count at 92 gets Rosario to ground out to second. So it's seven innings in the books, no runs, four hits, eight strikeouts. Very nice job. He ends up going to 8-3 all-time at Target Field, 2.7 ERA. Now, Barrios pitched very brilliantly, too. He allowed just one run in eight innings, five hits, no walks. He struck out 10. Speaking of that eighth inning, it was then a 1-0 game. Porcello was done. And who comes out? I mean, certainly not going to be Mike Timlin. It's not going to be Koji Uehara. Not even Heathcliff Slocum. By God, it's Colton Brewer, a guy who has, of course, struggled quite a bit this year. Single by Scope, walk by Kepler, and then Polanco, a sack bunt. And you're saying, wait a minute, their best hitter, a sack bunt? Thank you, Rocco Baldelli. Second and third, one out. Up comes the very scary Nelly Cruz, a guy that Brewer used to watch at the ballpark in Arlington when Colton was a teenager growing up in Texas. And they loved their Nelly Cruz in Texas. The boomstick. He would break out the boomstick is what he told everybody. And now there's an 18-inch hot dog they sell there that's called the boomstick. But anyway, the boomstick was not brought out in this at bat. It was a 40-foot roller back to Brewer. He comes home with it to get out number two. Rosario then grounds out to retire the side. So Colton Brewer, tonight was your bar mitzvah, buddy. Now you are a man. Three ground ball outs in one inning. It was a big inning. And that's as many ground ball outs as Porcello had in his seven innings. You go to the ninth, J.D. Martinez a double, and with two outs, Xander Bogaerts a double, and there is your insurance run. We've been talking so glowingly about Bogaerts, really should be an all-star this year. Same for Devers, who, just a reminder, had no home runs as of May 2nd, but since then he's got 11 of them, including the 458-footer, essentially to the opposite field Sunday in Baltimore. And Devers made another great racing catch into left field in this game, too. He's becoming very, very good at that. And Jackie Bradley is hitting now, as you probably have figured out. But you've got Bradley and Bogaerts since May 20th. Only Mike Trout has a higher OPS in the American League. That is a very, very good sign. But anyway, to that ninth inning, now that it's 2-0, bottom of the ninth, you're trying to save Matt Barnes a little bit because he's pitched six times in the last 11 days. So it's Ryan Brazier, back from bereavement list, having a shaky season. Was not shaky at all in the ninth. Fly out to left, gets a ground out. Up comes Miguel Sano, don't you know? Strike out to end it. An 11-pitch inning, a save for Brazier, number seven, and the win streak reaches six. Let's get you some audio now. Rick Porcello talking to the media after the game about his performance.
What did you have going for you? You have all your pitches.
Yeah, we had a pretty good mix tonight. It was nice to be able to use the curveball the way we wanted to, and slider cutter was working well, so... and then we just played the fastball off that. So it was a good mix. You know, breaking pitches showed up, and it was a good result. Sandy did a hell of a job.
The giant bomb for the Twins. Well, it's one of the best in the league. What were your game plan going in against a tough lineup?
Yeah, trying to keep them off balance. They're swinging the bats well. They're driving the ball out of the ballpark. They're not striking out a lot. They're extremely aggressive. So, you know, we try and mix and match and, get some quick outs when we can get some quick outs. But most importantly, just keep them off balance. Don't let them handle too many pitches in the middle of the zone.
Can you talk about the offense tonight with JD leading the way?
Yeah, JD's... came up big there in the first inning, and honestly, I feel like the biggest hit of the night was Bogey's double. You know, it was a fastball painted on chalk line away, and he hit a rocket in the right center gap. That was extremely impressive, and in a situation where we really needed it most to give ourselves a two-run cushion late.
You feel the team's on the way now with a 6-3 win?
We're playing good baseball. You know, we got a lot of baseball to play, though. It's hard to sit here and kind of figure out where we're at. We got to keep going. I think that there's a lot of things that we can get better at all the way around, and we need to continue to close the gap in the division and keep pushing forward.
Rick, you just mentioned the Twins have been playing really good baseball, best winning percentage in the major leagues coming in. Did you guys feel like this was an important series to show something, because you haven't played as well against the better teams?
It's hard to say a particular opponent means more than the other because all the wins mean something. We had a great series in Baltimore. We came up with a 3-game sweep, and we want to keep that going. I just feel like if we play the baseball that we know we're capable of playing, it shouldn't matter the opponent. We should be fine against anyone.
Very nice job by Porcello, who, of course, knows that stadium pretty well. He would pass through there with the Tigers, of course, quite often. But Minnesota, the best offense in baseball, we gave you that slugging percentage stat on the podcast yesterday, a .514 slugging percentage, and their best ever player, Harmon Killebrew, the Hall of Famer, the guy with close to 600 home runs, his career slugging percentage was .509. So the entire team this year, better than the killer, better than Harmon Killebrew. And in this game tonight, not a single run. Alex Cora, your thoughts. Go ahead.
He did an amazing job mixing up his pitching, his pitches, and using the fastball in certain spots. That's the best lineup in baseball. And he kept them off balance, weak contact. He was in control. Gave us what we needed. We were very limited today in the bullpen, and we needed him to get deep into the game, and he did more than that. He dominated for seven and gave us a chance to win the game.
Can you talk about the streak, the thing down now, 6-0?
Just playing good baseball. We still got to get better. Keep getting better. That's the most important thing. It's been good for 6 days now, and well, there's some strides, but we're not where we want to be yet.
How about the job that Brewer and Brazier did after?
Amazing. Brew, gem shot by Scope, and then the walk, but made some good pitches to Nelson, and second and third. We did a good job on the rundown. Nobody panicked. We got the out, and then he made some good pitches in Eddie, and he got rolled over, and then Brazier. His fastball, it was a good one today. He threw some changeups too to Marwin, and was able to get us the three outs.
Just with Ryan not being around for the last week, you know, how impressive was that for him to discover?
No, that was good. I mean, for everything that he went through, he actually took time to work on his craft. So that's to show you how professional he is. He understands that he has a job to do, but at the same time, obviously, his family situation is obviously more important. But he took time to stay in shape, keep his arm in shape, and today he did an outstanding job.
JD has a good night. Can you talk about his night?
Who, JD? He's been swinging the bat well. I know we miss him in that Tampa series, but sometimes you got to be smart. You know, you got to take them out of the equation, get them rest, you know, and when they're ready to go, they're ready to go. And we were patient enough. I know it didn't look good against Tampa. We lose 3 out of 4 without his bat. And his bat is very important for us. But, after that, he's won the bat well against Texas and then Baltimore. And today he put two good swings.
Alex, you said before the game you didn't want to pitch Ruckman. Was there anybody else you were going to stay away from?
Sure. That's something. There were a lot of guys, a lot of red in my card. So you saw it. So I think people think it's short. I think it's just limited because those guys, they got good stuff. You know, matchup-wise, Brew makes sense with a lot of those guys. And obviously, Brazier was fresh. So we went with him. But sometimes I made the mistake saying short, and it's not short. It's just limited.
Rick was, I think, in 94 pitches. Were you tempted to try to get another couple outs out of him?
No. Well, a little bit. But we went through this one already, so I'm a quick learner. So now we talk about it, and that's an odd bat. That was a tough one. You know, and he made a lot of pitches, and he took some good pitches and fouled off some others. And then Castro, he got him out. So, Dana talked to me a little bit, and I asked Rick, and he was very honest, which is great. You go back to the Houston game, and then people might see it both ways, you know, like, oh, it was one more pitch or two more hitters and whatever. But I think, you know, we gained trust, and, you know, we trust each other since last year. And and today he was very honest, which is great.
Also there, how much does it factor in that you might want a reliever to start a clean inning in the eighth instead of coming in with some?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the hitter-by-hitter, but obviously knowing that I was limited, you know, you think about it. But, at the end, we made a decision as a group, and it worked out.
What did you see out of Barrios tonight?
Poof. He was amazing. He was amazing. How many strikeouts? 10?
10.
Yeah, so, I mean, we contribute a lot to his foundation back home in Puerto Rico. So, yeah. But his stuff is amazing. This kid, I see him for a while, you know, growing up, and see him doing the things that he's doing right now is very impressive. Composure, the stuff, he's having a great year, and I know he enjoys competing against us. And he was great. He was great.
Just getting back to Rick, he's not getting swing and misses at the same rate that he has in past years. How impressive is it to watch just the execution and the locations that he works?
No, he did his own work. He always does. And you look at teams that have pitched a lot against these guys and look for tendencies and certain things. And, you know, like I've been saying all along, with him, it's different every 5 days. You know, today it was the four-seamer up. You know, their nights is a sinker and the curveball and the changeup and all that, you know. So I just glad that he was on the mound today. We needed him, like I said, not only to go seven, but dominate for seven, and he did.
All right, that's the skipper, and it really was a big, big win because it just kind of keeps the mojo going here. You look at the games since the end of April, the comparative records of the six teams in this glut of a second wild card race here. And, you know, the Red Sox are 29-17 in that time. The Rangers are 24-20. Angels are 23-21. The A's are 22-21. Indians 23-21. White Sox 23-22. That's the competition, if indeed you're not going to catch the Yankees or the Rays. And I still think they can, but just for argument's sake here, if you're looking at all those teams in the glut, the team playing best by far since the end of April is the Red Sox. David Price will be on the mound Tuesday looking to shake off that clunker last time out against the aforementioned Rangers. From Minnesota, the former Yankee Michael Pineda, who has not done well this year. He's got a 5.04 ERA to Price's 3.52. So trying to make it seven in a row. And again, kind of coming from out of nowhere, and it helped that indeed the three games right before this one against the Minnesota Twins. They were all against the Baltimore Orioles, but he'll take it. And you're looking forward to David Price steering out of the skid and getting this right. Charles Minor, you don't know the real Jim Halpert. Let's see if indeed the Red Sox are who we thought they were all along. Josh Lewin leaving you with that very pleasant thought. Have a wonderful day.